Может, мухаджири.
Migrant frequency.
La fréquence des immigrés.
Мигрантская
фреквенция.
Migrant frequency.
Мигранту фреквенцию.
It's time for migrant frequency, man.
Dobar dan, Slovenia. This is Ahmed Hamoud, the author of Migrant Frequency. You are listening to a special edition of Migrant Frequency at Radio Student 89.3 MHz. Today we have a special guest with us. It's the Prime Minister of the Republic of Slovenia, Dr. Miro Cerar. Welcome, Dr. Miro Cerar, to Migrant Frequency.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
Okay. Dr. Cerar, we can say that in Europe there are countries that are open toward refugees and others that are not. Where do you put Slovenia?
Slovenia is definitely open for refugees. As you know, we are in the relocation scheme. We already relocated about 40% of our quota from Italy and Greece. Mm-hmm. And we're also in the process of resettlement. We will also resettle some people from Turkey and Syria. So we express our solidarity in this way with other European countries. And of course, our humanity, because we sincerely believe that the people who are in real need to come to Europe to save their lives or to be protected here, they must find place in Europe. But of course, each and every country has its own integration capacities, and this must be also taken into account. So Slovenia knows approximately how many refugees, asylum seekers we can take, okay, and where is our limit.
Okay, but do you think that Slovenia acted in a humanitarian way during the refugee crisis?
Definitely. That was proven to everybody. Everybody could see in that time, it was in 2015 and in 2016, how we actually treated all the refugees and other migrants. We accepted all of them. We offered them shelter, we offered them food, medical aid, psychological aid, mm-hmm, everything they needed. There were no security issues in Slovenia, although about 500,000 of refugees crossed Slovenia at the time.
Okay, but why then? Why don't they want to stay here? Because concrete numbers are telling us that refugees don't want to stay in Slovenia. They leave. Why?
Yeah, because they want to go up to the north, to Germany, to Sweden, to some other countries which are their final destination. And we knew that, but of course, when thousands of people, even 10,000 per day, are coming to your country. In Slovenia is a small country, as you know, with 2 million of inhabitants. It is a big difficulty for such a country to handle all this without security risks and trying to do all the best for such people. And I know that all the Europe now knows very well that we treated them in a humane way and that we protected them from all insecurities and all other, let's say, bad things which could happen to them. Mm-hmm. But of course, if they wanted to go to some other countries, that was something they wished for.
Okay, but then why don't we keep those who want to stay, like Ahmed Ashami, who is, of course, all over the news, and he will be deported to Croatia after 2 years of waiting in Slovenia for asylum.
Look, we always try to respect the rule of law. Everybody who is asylum seeker must fulfill some conditions, must meet some conditions, and some criteria must be met in such situations. And I don't know exactly everything about this special case. You must ask the Ministry of Interior about this. But I'm sure that all the procedures were correct. And if the decision was like this, I have to respect this also as a prime minister. But this was one case. Of course, you know that there are many others who could stay here in Slovenia, who fulfilled the conditions and met the criteria. And as I said, we try to do everything we can to integrate them into our society by providing schooling for children, some activities and work, and possibilities for cultural activities for such people, because we don't want to put anybody who's came to Slovenia into a certain, let's say, something like ghetto, you know.
Okay, but regarding this, you said ask the MNZ, but for example, you as a lawyer, the MNZ has an option to invoke a discretion clause and keep Ashami here and deal with his case, you know, beside that, like they can overlook the law. But look, you as a lawyer, why don't they do this?
Look, you must understand that I cannot be fully informed about such cases. This is not my as a prime minister, you know, I can only deal with such matters at the more general level. So this is the issue which must be dealt with the ministry, with experts, with the administrative workers. So you must really ask them if there was something wrong. There is, of course, judicial protection. And I'm sure if there was something wrong, I mean, this protection will be effective.
Okay, then we move on to the next question. I personally, I don't think that you are the person who is behind the wire on the borders. Because I think, of course, personally, it's a decision made under influence probably by other politics. Maybe you were under political pressure. So could you tell me who are those who made this decision or put the wire on the fence?
Well, I must say that I was also one of the people who decided to do this, but I must explain this very clearly. Mm-hmm. These technical barriers or fence, whatever, however you call it, was not meant against refugees. This was meant against Croatia. Because what was happening at the time, you can remember, thousands of people were crossing our border in a very dispersed way. There was no security for anybody there. People were just coming from Croatia, and what was even much worse, the Croatian authorities pushed them to Slovenia in large numbers over the border, through the rivers, at night, you know, in very bad conditions, and people came to Slovenia in such state. They didn't know where they are. They didn't know how to get any help. It was in the open area, in the open space. And people in our villages got very scared because people in the night were coming, thousands of them. It was not just hundreds. It was 5,000, 3,000, thousands of time. I was there. I could see this. And we need to put those barriers only for one reason, to direct all those migrants to the entry points. Okay. We never refused anybody to enter Slovenia, but we had to direct them to some entry points when the procedure with them could be controlled and could be according to the rule of law. And they all got special help, special assistance in Norway. There were many organizations helping us. There wasn't only police, but police was very correct. There were non-governmental organizations, volunteers, local communities. Everybody was very helpful. But of course, you must have some controlled process.
So Slovenia is not like it wants to keep refugees, wants to accept refugees. But then the amendments to Alien Acts denies the protection to refugees. The amendments for special measures allows the denial of entry to people arriving at the borders and automatically expel migrants and refugees who entered Slovenia irregularly without properly assessing their asylum claims. What do you think about it?
Yes, it is a very strict measure. But this measure, I hope, will never be really put in practice, because you understand that this was meant only for some extraordinary situation, which will probably not happen. But you must think about the integration capability of Slovenia. You know that such measure can be taken only in case if the public order or safety of our state is endangered. If our state cannot action properly anymore, then in such case only, and only in such case, such measure can be taken to provide normal life for the state, which means it is a very extreme situation. And in you must also know that such measure can only be adopted by the parliament on the proposal of the government. So there are many, many, I would say, checks and balances in such issue. And it was meant for the situation when the Europe could not be helpful, because you must understand that at the time when we had all those migrations, it was very clear that the European Union was not able to confront itself with this issue. And even now, we have found some common agreement about the, let's say, control at the external borders, about fighting the root causes in Africa, in the Middle East, being helpful to those areas, to people living there. But still, there are millions of people waiting to come to Europe, and this process must be controlled. because if it's not controlled, it will put in danger not just our people living here, but also migrants themselves. Because if they come in large numbers, they will not, if they don't get any protection, any assistance, any help, what can happen then? You remember the situation in Serbia, for example, in the winter. Thousands of people, I mean migrants, were just left outside without proper help, and it was very bad for them.
Yeah, regarding that, I know a lot of people who are living in the EU without, of course, documents due to the rejection of statuses. Mm-hmm. And of course, in Serbia, there are thousands of people who are stuck. So do you think that what I call it now, the new Izbrisani, is happening again in a maybe different way?
Well, I hope not. Definitely in Slovenia, we will not allow, as long as I lead the government, we will never allow Izbrisani, the erased, to happen again. This was a very bad thing. I think it was a scandal, so to speak, and it was really against human rights, against human dignity. But now, talking about irregular migrations, we must be realistic here. We are helpful. As I told you, we are solidar with other European countries. Slovenia is open to asylum seekers, is open to refugees especially. But as far as the economic migrants are concerned, we have our integral capabilities, integral capacities. So everybody must understand that we can do what we can, but not more than that. Mm. And what we really miss is this common European awareness, common European solidarity and action. And the things are improving, but we are still far from the proper solution. And there are countries, as you said before, there are countries in Europe which do not follow the principle of solidarity in a way they should. Because if you are solidary with other countries, it doesn't mean only that you provide for some material help. Mm-hmm. You must be solidary in all aspects. You must take some refugees, you must provide for some material assistance and other things.
Okay, so there are a lot of Afghani people who don't have statuses here. They get only rejection, or at least most of them. So do you think Afghanistan is safe?
You mean as a country?
Yeah.
No, it's not safe. We all know that. I mean, there are regions which are very unsafe.
Then why the rejections of the statuses to Afghani people?
Well, I cannot tell you just for everybody, because I'm not familiar with all the cases which are at stake. But the point is that everybody who is asylum seeker must prove that he's coming from country which is not safe and must fulfill other conditions. Mm-hmm. So we must stick to this, respect for the rules and principles. Otherwise, there will be mess. Because, you know, there are thousands of people still coming in Europe every day. And if we don't respect certain orders, certain procedures, we will not be able to provide them a proper life. For example, if you take hundreds of thousands of migrants at once, uncontrolled, in an uncontrolled way, you can have some security risks there, you know that. But what is even more important, you put many of those people at the margin of society, because if they don't get any job, if they don't get jobs, if they don't get proper schooling for their children, if they don't have a proper, I would say, accommodation, then their life is not something in accordance with human rights, with human dignity. Mm-hmm. And this is what we must preserve. And Europe is capable to preserve this for a lot of people, but not for everybody in the world, of course.
Okay. So one last question. Mr. Sir, before I came to this interview, I told my mother about it, and she immediately asked me to forward a lunch or dinner invitation to you.
Oh, that's
and,
very nice.
I said, he is vegetarian. She said, I can do vegetarian.
Really?
No problem. So would you?
Well, let's work on this. I mean, I have a very busy schedule, but
yeah.
When we finish this interview, we can talk about this. It would be nice to meet your mother.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Dr.
And
Sarah.
Thank you for this invitation, of course.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for the invitation. Tako. This is... No.
Thank you.
Thank you again. Yeah.
Pogovor z Mirom Cerarjem je vodil Ahmed Shihab Hamud.
موجه
migrant frequency
la fréquence des immigrés
migrantska frequency
migrant frequency
migranto frequency
it's time for migrant frequency man.